Is your name a family name, or does it have some special meaning behind it? If so, what is the history of your name? I know people talk about those things quite often, and sometimes there'll be a very special meaning to the family name that you have been given. If yours is one of those, let me ask you this question. Do you like your name? Think about that. Consider that for a moment. In just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at some passages out of the book of Genesis chapter 17 about God's covenant being reaffirmed, and we're going to look at a few names that are mentioned as well as that were changed. Grab your Bible, come on back. I'll see you in just a minute. Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Just a moment ago, I asked you the question, if your name had a special meaning, if it was a family name that had a special meaning involved behind it. I know through my life there have been people who have mentioned their name and they said, well, this was a family name. This is from my great-great-grandfather or what have you. And some of the people liked that their name. Some people just didn't like it at all. That was the reason I asked you if you did like your name. But I want you to consider that for just a moment. You were given a name if you have a family name. Whether you liked it or not, there was some significance behind it. You know, I often think about in the days of the Old as well as the New Testament, how names had, a greater significance in meaning than they do now. I mean, we pick a name in this day and age because we like it. Some people still have, family names. But for the most part, we'll pick a name because we like it. Most people would sit back and think, well, I don't even know what my name really means. Because generally there's some meaning attached to that. Well, we're going to look at a few of those things as we discover God's covenant reaffirmed out of the book of Genesis chapter 17. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. We're going to take 21 verses out of this particular passage, Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading at the first verse. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I give to you, your descendants after you, the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Cana, and an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my commandment, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall call her name, not Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be established with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your presence today, we do so just asking that you would speak to us, that you would teach us from your word. Father, we know that your Holy Spirit is with us. Your Holy Spirit is our teacher. And Lord, we just ask and pray right now that that you would give us insight into your word, that we might be drawn closer to you, that we might see that there is promise and that there is great power. And Lord, with that covenant that you made with Abraham, Lord, it extends all the way into our lives in this very present moment in this age called grace. So, Lord, bless each and every hearer. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, I pray you'd be with me as your messenger for the moment. Help us, Father, to truly lift you up, that you might draw all men unto you. Bless our time, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. See, I guess now you're probably beginning to understand a little bit more about why I ask if you had a family name, or if that name had some significant meaning in your family or in your life. And whether or not you liked it, because we see some name changing that was going on there. But also in our story today, God revealed himself to Abram as El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty. Now, why do you think that God revealed himself by this new name? Go look with me, if you would, there at verse 1. Verse 1 says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. You know, I believe that when we consider that is not only the name of God, that is also a descriptor of God. He is Almighty. He can do anything and everything. He created the earth. He created the fullness thereof. And he is establishing with Abram his strength, his might, and who he is. He says, I am God Almighty. I want you to know that as I get ready to tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. That's what God is saying essentially to Abraham. And this name, when you think about it, this name is related to God's promise and Abram and Sarai's age. You know, when you think about that, we look at this story and we know that as we read forward, God is promising them a child. You know, both of them are essentially what you and I would know and consider to be beyond child rearing age. I kind of laugh every time I read this passage because I think about, folks who have gotten a little older, not necessarily in their 90s, but, you know, even people who are, in their late 40s and 50s who would sit back and say, I would definitely not want to go back and try to raise a child again. But yet this was going to be something that God was going to accomplish through his great might and through his great power for both Abraham and Sarah. Now, remember, their names prior to the name change was Abram and Sarai. OK, and God goes through and he begins to tell them, you know, why he's going to make this name change. Now, what did God say to Abram, and why do you think that he changed their names? Now, that's listed in verses 2 through 5 of our text this evening. And he says, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. Here's God expressing what this covenant is going to be to Abram. And look at it. Verse 4, it says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Now, I want to take a pause right there for just a moment and talk about just for a moment the names and these name change. Yeah, Abram, now that was what he was before his name was changed. Abram means high father. Abraham, which is what his name was changed to, means father of a multitude. Okay. Now, Sarai is said to mean contentious, where Sarah means a princess. Okay. Their new names were in preparation for the new blessing that was about to enter into their home, and that was the child that they were going to be given, that they were going to be naming Isaac. Now, only the grace of God could take two idol-worshipping heathen and make godly kings and queens out of them. Plain and simple, God Almighty. Okay, so when we consider that the names, and when we consider the name changes, you have to understand what the significance of those names are. Remember, God told Abraham, he said, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations." So he changed his name from High Father, which Abram meaning High Father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Okay, so there would be many and many nations that would come from him. So again, that means that those names had some significant value to them. They meant something. It's like I said many times in the days of the Old Testament, particularly the Old Testament, it seemed like those names meant so much more. There was significance in the name that a person received from their parents. Okay. Now God instructs Abraham to do a sign of his covenant between them. Now that is found in verses 9 through 14, and to just lay it out there, you know, he was telling them about the aspect of circumcision. Okay, in verses 9 through 14, he actually goes in and he says this. He says, "And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, the covenant that I'm making with you, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations." And he said in verse 10, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you, that every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." So in short, what was going on was he said a sign of that covenant will be circumcision. Now, we read a lot about that, particularly in the days of the Old Testament. You know, why do you think that God chose circumcision, you know, as a sign for this covenant? Now, when you consider it, you know, it was going to be a visible sign. I want you to think for just a moment. Circumcision, people would look at a person that was circumcised and say, okay, well, that is a child of God, or that is a man of God, or have this outward testimony of this inward change, as it were. Is there anything that you can think of today that kind of closely correlates and parallels with that covenant or with the sign of circumcision in the days of the Old Testament? If you consider it, baptism is much like that today. There are so many people in this day and age who think that baptism is an element of salvation. According to the Word of God, it is not. What baptism is in the New Testament church is it's an outward sign of an inward change. Now, circumcision would be the same thing back in the days of Abraham. It was an outward sign of an inward change that somebody had trusted the Lord. It was like a public type profession. Okay. Now, this in this particular passage that we're looking at today, this is the first mention of circumcision in the Bible. Nowhere does the Old Testament teach that circumcision saves a man. Okay. Make sure you hear that if you don't hear anything else today. In the Old Testament days, he was not touting that circumcision equated to or equaled salvation. In the same way, in the New Testament and at our age of grace, baptism does not bring about salvation. I know that I've had many people throughout the time of my ministry that have come and they've said, well, preacher, you know, I want to be baptized. My first question is usually, why? Tell me why you want to be baptized. And they'll say, because I want to go to heaven. You know, I want to, you know, be in heaven, you know, when I die or what have you. And there are so many people who think that baptism equals salvation, that that's an act that you do to become a born-again believer. And folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that the decision is made and the change is made when you believe in your heart and you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. So when we compare those days, those Old Testament days of Abraham and the New Testament days in which Christ walked, and even the days in which we're living in called the Age of Grace, baptism doesn't save you. In the same manner, circumcision did not equate to salvation in Abraham's day. But what it was is it was an outward symbol of the covenant between God and man, okay? That was what was going on in the Old Testament days, in Abraham's day. It was this outward symbol of the covenant that God had made between himself and Abraham and with mankind at that time. You know, it was a reminder to them of the inward circumcision of the heart that accompanies true salvation. Now notice I added true salvation in there because there are a lot of people who are deceived in believing that they're saved. Even some of those people who have gone out and they've been baptized in our current age, they think, well, I was baptized, I'm saved. But they never had an inward regeneration, an inward change in their heart. You know, the ritual was to be performed on the eighth day of the child. And significantly, you know, the number eight is the number of the resurrection. Okay. Now, sad to say, the Jews depended on that fleshly ritual and not the inner reality of salvation. Okay. Believers today are in the new covenant. Now, you got to remember that. There was a change that was made when Jesus said, just prior to the crucifixion, and you'll remember this too, that when we take communion, when Jesus had communion with his disciples, and when we have it today, the scripture tells us this. It says, and in like manner, also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. We're under the new covenant, okay? So, you know, believers today are under that new covenant, and that is the circumcision of the days of old, which is experiencing the spiritually the death of Christ. You know, the entire body of sin, meaning the old nature, you may have heard that mentioned before, but the entire body of sin or that old nature is being put off, and we live in the spirit, not in the flesh. You know, I've said this many times that when somebody comes to know Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit. We are given that new nature. But that doesn't mean that the old nature just goes away. The new nature, the new spiritual godly nature is always in conflict with that old nature that we still have. It's whichever one of those personas that you feed the most is going to be the strongest, okay? The Lord tells us not to live in the flesh, but to live in the spirit. Are you feeding the spirit side of that? Now, as I think about this passage, I love where it says, I believe it's in verse 17, but it talks about where Abraham laughed. Now, Abraham's laughter in verse 17, as you study it, was actually considered to be a joyful laughter of faith, as opposed to Sarah's over in the next chapter, in chapter 18, verse 12. Sarah's was that of unbelief. You know, when you sit back, I mean, how many times has, you know, the Lord said he'd do something for you and, you know, it seemed impossible. And then all of a sudden the Lord does it and you just kind of giggle. You just, you know, kind of laugh. I can almost picture that was what was going on, you know, with Abraham, whereas Sarah was going, there's no way. I'm 90 years old. It doesn't work this way. You're almost 100. I'm 90. We don't need to be having children. Besides, even if we wanted to, we probably couldn't. So, yeah, Sarah had some doubt. Abraham didn't necessarily have the doubt. It was a joyous faith, okay? Now, you know, Sarah had that unbelief. And when you think about it, their son that was born, this scripture tells us that when they had a son, what was his name? They were to name him Isaac. You know what the name Isaac means? Isaac actually means laughter. And you can see where that came from. Now, remember, I've said before, there was a lot of significance to names, particularly in the days of the Old and the New Testament. So when Abraham and Sarah had their son, his name was Isaac, and Isaac actually means laughter. You know, now there was a son that Abram had before they actually had Isaac, whose name was Ishmael. And God rejected Ishmael and established his covenant with Isaac and his seed. You know, however, you know, in grace, he does not appoint a special blessing for Ishmael. So just kind of keep those things in mind that God established that blessing upon Isaac as opposed to Ishmael. Now, there's some other things that we can learn about Ishmael as well. I know that in times we had this discussion one evening in Servant Bible Institute back pre-pandemic when we were able to still be meeting, and we think about, you know, sometimes we question or we think, why is God doing this? Why didn't God just take care of this situation over here so that we wouldn't have to deal with it today? If God would have done something different back then, then we wouldn't have to deal with it today. And a lot of folks have said that concerning Ishmael, and I'll get to that in just a moment, okay? But it's let me ask you this. Why do you think that God changed Sarai's name, okay? Remember what we said, Sarah is what he changed it to, means princess, you know, and God made promises in connection with that. And then we think about old Abraham, we think about him kind of giggling and laughing at that situation, because I mean, imagine being in his position at almost 100 years old. So he says, hey, you're going to have a child. And yeah, you might be laughing for a whole lot of reasons. You'd be going, okay, A, that's not going to happen. Yeah, physically impossible at this point. But B, I don't know if I would have the strength and the energy. Yeah, most of us know how much energy kids have, and how many times have we said, man, I'll tell you one thing, if I could bottle that energy up, man, we could light the whole world up with just the energy of one child. We just have a hard time keeping up with them. But God made some promises. Now, you know, I've said that as we do our Bible studies, one of the things that we want to look at is an attitude to change. How many times has God come to you with something and said, here's what I'm going to do? And we're like, okay, whether your laughter was like that of Sarah, which was a laughter of you got to be kidding me, a laughter of disbelief, or whether it may have been a giggle like Abraham saying, well, yeah, you're God and you can certainly do it. You know, we need to make sure that our attitude is right when God comes to us, because folks, God specializes in the things that seem to be the most impossible. The things that don't seem to be what you and I might think they are, the things that seems like man cannot accomplish. Those are the things where God usually dots the I's, cross the T's, and does the absolute most. Okay, now Abraham had a prayer request concerning his son Ishmael. Okay, and that's found in verses 18 and 19 of our text today, which tells us this. It says, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no. Did you get that? No. No. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with you for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Now, let me keep on going down into verse 20, because it says, and as for Ishmael... Yeah, God told Abraham, no, but as for Ishmael, he says, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Okay? And he goes on, he says in verse 21, my covenant, this is God, my covenant my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you. At this set time next year. So, you know, essentially Abraham had a prayer request, and how did God answer it there in verses 18 and 19? God said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, think about that for a moment. In what ways was Abraham's request an attempt to settle for less than God's very, very best? Yeah, how many times do we do that? You know, when those things come up in our heart and in our mind, are we willing to settle for God's permissive will, or are we really striving to find God's perfect will in every circumstance and in every situation? Yeah, so God did make a promise concerning Ishmael. He made Abraham a promise, but it wasn't the promise that Abraham necessarily wanted. Now, here was a question that I mentioned. What nation came from Ishmael? Now, I mentioned a moment ago our discussion we had one evening in Servant Bible Institute. The nations from Ishmael are the Arab nations, okay? Now, it's probably becoming a little bit more clear because, you know, people sit back and said, well, you know, if God would have taken care of all this back during the time of Ishmael, we wouldn't have the conflict with the Arabs that we have even in our current and modern day and age in which we live. So the Arab nations are the ones that are attributed to Ishmael. Matter of fact, Ishmael is recognized by the Muslims as the ancestor of several northern prominent Arab tribes and the forefather of Adnan, the ancestor of Muhammad. You know, Muslims also believe that Muhammad was a descendant of Ishmael who would establish a great nation. So now you can understand where our discussion came from in Servant Bible Institute because of the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, and even the Gentiles and the Arabs, even in our current and existing modern time. And one of the students in Servant Bible Institute said, well, you know, God could have taken care of that, you know, way back when, and we wouldn't have had to have contended with it today. You know, I've always said there's a whole bunch of things that God could do that that I don't understand why they're done the way they're done, but yet by the same token, that's what happens. That's the way it works. It's because it's God's will, you know, whatever you want to call it, whether you call it his permissive will, whether you call it his perfect will, or whatever the case or whatever the situation may be. Now, one of the big things I want us to understand is that we should never settle for second best from God. God has a perfect plan in place for us. He wants us to follow that plan, and he doesn't need our help. Have you ever noticed we try to help God? We want to tweak God's plan. Lord, I know this is what you say to do, but if we do it this way, you know, we can make better time, or we could do something different. I've thought about that in so many ways throughout even the Bible. How many times did we ever come into the circumstance or situation where it would have been very, very easy to have actually said, well, Lord, you know, I don't necessarily want to do what it is that you're asking me to do. I mean, I think about when Israel left Egypt. I mean, that was a big thing, man. When Israel left Egypt, think about that for a moment. Consider that when they did that, it says that God didn't take them the most direct route on their way as they were heading to the promised land. Yeah, you know, he took them a roundabout way because he said, when they came up against conflict, it would be too easy for them to say, let's just go back to Egypt. The same holds true for us today, folks. When God puts us on a path, there's going to be obstacles that are going to happen. There are going to be things that are going to come up. And it is so easy for us to want to run back to where it's comfortable. You know, that's where the old expression back to Egypt came from. They wanted to get out so bad, but when they faced adversities, how easy is it to say, well, let's just go back where we were before? Folks, you know, I like the old expression that we've read many times. It says that when Cortez reached the New World, he burned his ships, and therefore his men became highly motivated along the way. They weren't going back. God doesn't want us to go back where we were. He wants us to continue to go straight on the path that he has planned for us, which is his perfect will for our lives. So as we consider those things this week, let us pray for one another to be willing to wait with faith for God's very, very best. That's what he wants us to do. Sometimes we get impatient. I mean, we're impatient people. That is a confession that most of us will make. We don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing, but we say, hey, it is what it is. I'm not a very patient person. So what we want to do is we want to be able to pray that we're willing to wait with faith for the very, very best that God has for us, okay? Now, before we do that, I just want to go ahead and give you your Bible readings for this week as we continue our study in the Old Testament. Your Bible readings for this week are going to be Genesis chapter 18 through Genesis chapter 22. That's Genesis chapter 18 through Genesis chapter 22. Next week, we're going to look at the sacrifice of Isaac. Remember we said in our Bible study this evening, we talked about Abraham and Sarah are going to have a son, and his name is going to be Isaac. We're going to be talking about the sacrifice of Isaac next week out of Genesis chapter 22. So pay a little bit more attention there as you're in Genesis 22. and let the Lord speak to you as you spend time with him in the word and in prayer. Okay. One thing I do want to mention before we close out in prayer is that in the month of March, we are taking our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That is for North American missions. That's United States, Canada, and Mexico. This keeps our missionaries out on the field. And all this money goes straight to them. We don't keep any of it here. Everything that is given goes directly to support their needs while they're out on the mission field. So prayerfully consider what contribution that the Lord would have you to make in support of our North American mission offering, which we call the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Okay. One other thing I do want to mention is that coming up on the 8th of this month, we do have a blood drive scheduled here at the church. Katie Nelson is in charge of that. So if you've never given blood, listen, why don't you step up and go ahead and help save some lives? It's not bad. Trust me, I give. I promise you, it's not a bad thing. You can contact Katie Nelson. If you need to get a hold of her, you can contact her by contacting the church office, and we will make sure that we get you in touch with her. Katie does a fantastic job as she directs and takes care of our blood drives here. So that's going to be on the 8th, March 8th. Sign up, be a part of giving the gift of life. Let's pray together this evening. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, I just pray that you will help us to always constantly be in prayer with you, that we would truly pray without ceasing. Lord, I ask that as you reveal your plans for us, that we would be faithfully patient to wait on what your perfect will is. Lord, help us not to simply settle for your permissive will. Lord, it's us that gets out of line, but help us to be patient and to wait for what you have that is good and right and perfect. Lord, you gave us an example of that through Abraham and Sarah in your word. Lord, I just ask that you would give us strength for our journey. And Lord, again, may we be a blessing to somebody this week that we will come in contact with. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I love you. I look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday at the Lord's House, Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. God bless you.